This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Farmers continue to be a political key group for the president, who tweeted Friday that USDA will, if needed, provide more aid to farmers under the Phase 1 China deal, USMCA, and other deals to kick in. President Trump surprised farmers and even USDA officials with that announcement that he's willing to approve another round of market facilitation payments if needed. The Washington Post reported on Saturday that the top USDA officials said last week China might end up buying just $14 billion in U.S. farm goods this fiscal year, far short of the $40 billion that Trump has promised. But that is not what USDA chief economist Rob Johansson told hundreds of more attendees at the 96th Annual Ag Outlook Forum while discussing the coronavirus impact.
Private sector forecasts have lowered their estimates of China's first quarter GDP by as much as 2 percentage points. It's far too early to tell what the final impacts will be, but most of those forecasting operations expect the second quarter, third quarter, and fourth quarter in China to rebound.
At a press conference, reporters later asked Secretary Sonny Perdue about the gap between the $40 billion and the $14 billion.
Yeah, if I wasn't clear enough, the WASI report that was referred to earlier did not contemplate the Phase 1 at that point in time. We talked about that, and it was determined not to include that initially in this expectation. So we do believe those numbers will be surpassed.
American Farm Bureau President Zippy Duval also said he was optimistic China will buy more than $14 billion in U.S. ag products based on conversations he's had with China's ag minister. In other ag news from around the world, late last week, the USDA reopened the door to the U.S. market for imports of raw beef from Brazil. The agency says the world's largest beef exporter has taken the right steps to improve its food safety inspection system, bringing it up to U.S. standards. Some farmers, ranchers, and food safety groups are already pushing back against the decision. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association is one of them that's had a serious concern about the decision. NCBA strongly supports science-based trade and the administration's efforts to enforce it, says Kent Bacchus, the Senior Director of International Trade and Market Access for NCBA. But NCBA has serious concerns about Brazil returning to the U.S. beef market. He says the NCGA has frequently requested the lack of scientific evidence that was used to justify Brazil's initial entry into the U.S. market back in 2016. Unfortunately, we weren't surprised that Brazil forfeited its beef access to the U.S. in 2017 due to a large number of food safety violations. Given Brazil's history with foot and mouth disease and its track record of repeated food safety violations at ports of entry, you can rest assured that we'll keep a sharp eye out on all future developments with Brazil. The USDA is reminding producers interested in the CRP program that the sign-up deadline is Friday, the 28th. The sign-up is available to farmers and private landowners who are either enrolling for the first time or re-enrolling for another 10 to 15 years. Farmers and ranchers who enroll in the program get yearly rental payments for voluntarily establishing a long-term resource-conserving plant species such as an approved grass or tree, which can control soil erosion, help improve water quality, and develop wildlife habitat on marginally productive agricultural land. The CRP program has 22 million acres currently enrolled, but the 2018 Farm Bill has lifted that cap to 27 million. The program is marking its 35th anniversary this year with many milestones. It's prevented more than 9 billion tons of soil from eroding, and the program has also sequestered an average of 49 million tons of greenhouse gas. That's equal to taking 9 million cars off the road. Moving on now into local ag news from around the Midwest, rather. The Missouri Department of Agriculture is trying to address a backlog of about 600 complaints from farmers who say drift of dicamba-based herbicide damaged their crops. St. Louis Public Radio reports some of the complaints date back to 2016. State lawmakers are considering a budget request from the Ag Department to hire more staff to handle the backlog. The agency wants to add 4 investigators and 2 staff members to review the cases. The farmers complain that dicamba drifts from other fields kill their crops. The state Ag Department has received 755 dicamba-related complaints since 2016. Moving on now into state Ag news, Deere & Company had a surprisingly strong first quarter so far this year after an extended period in which the tractor and construction equipment maker was hit hard by the trade disputes between China and the U.S. Farmer confidence, though still subdued, has improved due in part to hopes of a relaxation of trade tensions and higher ag exports, says CEO John May. An Associated Press report says China has suspended more tariffs on imports of U.S. industrial goods in response to a truce in the trade war with Washington. It's been well documented how hard Chinese tariffs have hit U.S. ag commodities like soybeans, which hurt farmers and in turn hurt farm equipment manufacturers as well. The Moline, Illinois-based Deere & Company had posted 3 consecutive quarters of falling profits and slowing sales growth as trade tensions between China and the U.S. continued. It also stuck to a conservative outlook during 2020. Deere expects sales in its agriculture and turf business to fall between 5 and 10%, and those in the construction and forestry segment to fall between 10 and 15%. 6:32 here on your Tuesday morning, looking at other ag news from around Illinois. Illinois officials plan to combat infestations of the gypsy moth, and that will be the focus of several upcoming meetings, in the northern part of the state. The Illinois Department of Agriculture has planned 9 open houses to discuss treatment strategies and infested sites, including the use of naturally occurring bacteria and a pheromone specific to gypsy moths that will prevent males from breeding. Officials say there's no danger to humans, pets or other wildlife. The non-native pest eats more than 250 species of trees, shrubs, but particularly they feed on oak leaves. Moving on now to the state Ag Crop Progress and Condition Report that was released Sunday. Statewide, the average temperature for the month of February was 30.8 degrees. That's 1.7 degree above normal. Precipitation for the month thus far averaged 1.52 inches, 6 thousandths of an inch below normal. As of February 23rd, the topsoil moisture supply was rated at 63% adequate and 37% surplus. Subsoil moisture supply so far this month is 73% adequate and 27% surplus. Winter wheat condition is rated at 2% very poor, 6% poor, 36% fair, 46% good, and 10% excellent. Other reports from around the state that were released recently. County estimates for yield were released on Friday for both corn and soybeans. For corn, only 7 counties yielded over 200 bushels per acre, and none were over 210, while in 2018 the whole state averaged over 210 bushels per acre. The highest county corn yield in Illinois was Sangamon County at 206.3 bushels to the acre, with 45.5 million bushels of corn raised on 224,000 acres in Sangamon County. Other counties in the state with an average over 200 bushels to the acre include Cass, Carroll, Macon, McLean, Morgan, Stark, and Tazewell counties. County yield averages in our WSMI listening area are as follows. Bond County at an average of 184, Calhoun 171, Clinton 182, Christian 199, Fayette 166, Greene County 192, Jersey 183.5, Macoupin 183, Madison 198, Montgomery 188, Shelby 175, and St. Clair 184. For soybeans, 11 counties yielded over 60 bushels to the acre in the state, with the highest yielding county being Sangamon County as well, with an average yield of 65.5 bushels to the acre. That had 10.8 million bushels of beans raised off of 166,000 acres. Other counties in the state over 60 bushels include Carroll, Greene, Jersey, Macon, Menard, McDonough, McLean, Montgomery, and Morgan. And yield of counties in our listening area, besides the ones listed over 60 bushels to the acre, were Bond County at 52, Calhoun County at 47, Clinton at 52, Fayette at 49, Macoupin at 58, Madison at 57, Shelby at 56, and St. Clair at 53. The counties above 60 in our listening area were Greene with 61, Jersey with 60, and Montgomery with 61.5. 6:36 here on your Tuesday, moving on to the Ag Community Bulletin Board. It's time to get a head start on the upcoming garden season by planting your seedlings indoors. Growing quality seedlings indoors requires proper planting for adequate conditions to start seedlings off right. And the U of I Extension will be hosting a Starting Seeds Indoors workshop that will be held at the Montgomery County Extension Office in Hillsboro. You can join U of I Extension horticulture educator Andrew Holsinger as he provides a variety of techniques for starting seedlings indoors. The program is going to take place on Wednesday afternoon from 1:30 until 3. Cost for the program is $5 per person and will include handouts. You can pre-register by visiting their website, extension.illinois.edu/CJMM, or by calling the Hillsboro Extension Office at 532-3941. Pre-registration is due by today, Tuesday. Pre-registration for that Starting Seeds Indoors workshop is today. The program takes place tomorrow. And in other news from the U of I Extension, a pop-up workshop will be held on Tuesday, March 10th from 5:30 until 7 at the Montgomery County Extension Office as well. There's no charge to attend, but registration is required. Again, you can register online at extension.illinois.edu/CJMM or call the Montgomery County Extension Office at 532-3941. The instructor will be Pam Scalahorn, Extension Specialist in Community and Economic Development, and she is an authority on creative economy and has presented on the topic at both state and national conferences. Currently, she is working in cities across the state that are interested in developing their own creative economy. And that'll wrap it up for this Tuesday morning edition of the Ag Show. But remember, if you have any ag news for us or anything for the Community Bulletin Board, those items can be sent to us at WSMI at WSMIRadio.com. So for this Tuesday morning, February 25th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.